This message today is called, Who Dictates Your Reality? Who dictates your reality? And I want you to stop and think and really assess today in your life, who is dictating your reality? Is it the world? The flesh? The devil? Or the Spirit of the living God and His Word? Is it full-time, part-time, once in a while? How does that work? There is a spiritual reality and then there is a natural reality that we live in our flesh, in our bodies, in this world. But there is a spiritual reality that is far more true that the Lord made us to live in. He created us to live in. Now, we have a reality that we live in that somebody is dictating. Today's the day to make a change. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit here today, a little bit more than I normally read. Would you go to 1 Corinthians, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible with you, and you don't have a Bible, we've got some Bibles for you. Or a Bible to give you. But I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles. If you got it on your phone or your iPad or your hardcover, hard copy, but bring your Bibles. We don't put the words on the screen on purpose, as you know. Because I want you to look in your Word. I don't want you to look at the screen and be spoon-fed. We're not a bunch of spoon-fed believers. Amen? Is that cool or what? Because you know how rare that is? In this day and age? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now Paul has introduced the Lord, Jesus Christ, to the Corinthian church. This is his first letter to the Corinthians. And he says in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, Corinthians, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing." And I want you to think about that in application to right now. Right now, today. Because this could be written to the American church. Yes. It actually is. I believe the Lord in His foresight. Of course, His Word is appropriate and applicable in all kinds of situations to all kinds of people. But we are a type of the Corinthian church right now. Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew." He's speaking about at that time the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders. "For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written," he quotes Isaiah, and he says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, that's you and me, if you're born again, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now I want to synopsize this, certain parts of this for today. As far as who dictates your reality? What reality do you really live in? Paul said, the wisdom of God is greater than human wisdom. The natural man or natural woman cannot know it, or the good things he has prepared for the spiritual man or spiritual woman. The good things of God and reality are revealed by the Holy Spirit to the spiritual man and the spiritual woman. The natural man and natural woman cannot receive them. The spiritual man and spiritual woman can know and receive them because we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a pretty familiar scripture. I don't want it to become a rote scripture because there's power in this word. These are us who have believed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, who died, buried, rose again for us, forgave us all our sins, and then clothed us with his power, gave us a new spirit, recreated us, and on and on and on, and gave us all these good gifts. But everything became new, and we went from being a natural man or woman to a spiritual man or woman. Why then, if that's true, do we live as natural people? Why do we divert? Why do we default? Because we do. The tendency for us as human beings is to default into whatever's going on in the world. What the world is saying, what the world is doing, what the world is watching, what the world's listening to. And man, it's just nasty. It is ugly. It is so foul and ungodly, some of these things. And some of these things that we've gotten accustomed to are just spiritually, they're putrid. But we've gotten accustomed to them, so we don't think it's so bad. We've gotten hardened, desensitized. And we're living more in the natural man or woman than we are the spiritual man or woman. God never made us to live in the natural after we got born again. He never did. He made us to live as a spiritual man or spiritual woman from this time forward, or from that time forward. When we got a new spirit, man, everything changed. Everything. Our whole eternity changed from that moment on. Everything going forward in our lives. And the bent of God, of our God, the intent has been to get us to live in a spiritual reality where eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the good things that God has prepared for those who love him. That we know those things, and that by faith, because we know him, we can walk in them, we can live in them, and it can be a normal part of life. The natural world or the natural man does not have an effect on us anymore. That's the way he made us to live. But we change our realities based on a lot of times what the world says rather than what the Spirit says, what the Spirit is speaking to us, what the Word says, what the truth is, what the reality and who He is, our God. We're living in the world. We're in it. Jesus said we're in it to His disciples, but you're not of it. You're not of it. You're not of it. Well, what does that mean? That means we're not natural people anymore. What happens is we are immersed, immersed in information through our senses that is contrary to the spiritual reality of what we have all the time. We're immersed in it. We're surrounded by it. The news, the internet, the movies, friends, social media, our jobs, our families, and on and on and on and on. We're immersed in this. I quit reading the news again for like 2 or 3 weeks. Just quit. I said, even the conservative news was like, I've had enough. And Rosie came to me the other day and she said, have you heard about this? It was some kind of trampling of people in some concert where a guy, y'all know about it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know when it happened. I said, huh? So she told me about it, and I'm unaware of it. And this is because my conviction has gotten so different in the last 4 weeks. I want to live as a spiritual man all the time. Look, if I need to know something in the news, God will tell me. He'll get it to me, just like He did with Pastor Rosie. I don't know why, that'll happen, and I don't even know the background. All I know is that in this world, there is a reality that people are living in that we do not have to live in. Does it mean we have to live ignorant of things going on? No, but it means we are not attached to those things because something has changed in us. The world, the flesh, the devil are trying to dictate your reality to you. I'm not going there anymore. The more news I read, I thought, we got to deal with this, got to deal with this, got to deal with this. The only way we're going to deal with these things is by living in the spiritual reality that God has got for us and doing what He wants us to do, living the way He has for us and seeing people getting born again, being led by the Holy Spirit in different areas, seeing the miracles. I've seen more miracles in the last 4 weeks in my life than I've seen in a long time. I made a change, a very focused, specific change in my life to become the spiritual man that He has called me to be. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I can live in that arena where eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the amazing and wonderful things God has prepared for those who love Him. That's what I want. More than anything. More than anything. Because in that is life. This other stuff, this other, what the world calls reality, is nothing but death. So here's the pull. It's all those things that are around us, which surround us all the time, the news, internet, movies, and so on. Here's the other part. Every time we go look in the mirror, some of us look in the mirror a lot more than others. Some of us don't. But every time we go look in the mirror, you know what we see? We see a shell. We're not seeing us. We're seeing a shell. Just a temporary house. And instead of looking at what God has built in us and seeing in the mirror the reality of who we are in Him spiritually, that spiritual man or spiritual woman, we see the shell and how they look and how they feel and how they reason, what their logic is. That's what we see. We forget we're looking at a shell. That's all this is. What's in us, when you get born again, what's in us, this regenerated, recreated spirit that we've been given, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, endued with His power, His glory is in us, and we are sons and daughters of God. And we look at us and we go, oh, yeah, I'm surrounded by all this stuff, all this stuff going on, and that's my reality. It's not your reality. Your reality is who you are spiritually from now on. That's your reality. But you know what? Somebody's dictating the reality that you're living in. If you're not seeing the things that God's promised, laid up for you, got for you, promised to you, lavished us with, if we're not seeing those, then we are not living, and forgive me for saying this, but we're not living in the spiritual reality that He's given us. We're not doing it. It's really us. God's not holding back. He never did. Never has. Never kept it from us. He says, man, I've got it for you. Once you got born again, it all became yours. But you're going to live in a different reality than what the world does. How we live and deal with our lives and our issues we face, no matter what they are. I don't care if they're emotional, mental, hormonal, physical, relational, whatever they are. We're either going to deal with them through the spiritual person or through the natural person. One or the other. We're going to make a choice, and that will be our reality, whatever that comes of that. Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, if we proclaim to live in this Spirit of God, this spiritual realm, this Holy Spirit realm, this new creation reality, then let's walk it out that way. Remember, we are spiritual first now. We are not a natural man or natural woman first. That's not true. The real, true mirror that we are to look at is not the mirror on the wall when we're shaving in the morning or whatever it is. The real true mirror we look at is what He says in His Word about us and who we really are, because that is our reality. And what that means is intimacy with God and a much, much deeper level of faith. You know, all those old-time ministers like Smith Wigglesworth, one of my favorites, and John G. Lake and so on and so forth. I mean, great men, Catherine Coleman, great men and women of God, that's just in the last century. They lived as spiritual people. They did not live as natural people. They, the world thought they were pretty weird because they were not like the world. You know, that's what we're called to be. It's the same way. Our reality is to be a spiritual reality like theirs was. I've been reading, I like biographies of the saints that have gone before us. I just do. Rosie and I go, we escape sometimes to, you know, there's a Christian bookstore left here in Michigan. It's a big one. I mean, it's huge. And we escape overnight to go to this Christian bookstore. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Maybe someday. Maybe one of these days. Okay, it's Baker Bookhouse in Grand Rapids. Anybody heard of it?
Yes.
Okay, Baker Bookhouse in Grand Rapids. We escape there, we grab a hotel room, and we go there. And we go there to read our Bibles in the morning, have coffee, and read our Bibles, and to gather books that lift us up and encourage us, and that we can glean from and learn from. And I've been reading biographies for some time now of those that go before us and to get them there. And one time I picked up a biography of a man, a real obscure preacher. His name is G.C. Bevington. Anybody ever heard of him? Real obscure. B-E-V-I-N-G-T-O-N. And the name of the book was G.C. Bevington, Modern Miracles Through Prayer and Faith. I've been reading this daily for a while. This is a pretty thick book. It's not real well written. It's his biography. He wrote the bulk of it. It's grammatically incorrect in a lot of areas. He was this, again, an obscure holiness preacher. Now, holiness is a little different than where we're at. But he loved God. And like everybody else who has a real love for God and wanted to walk in that spiritual reality, he did. He wasn't real educated. He was an itinerant preacher. He traveled. He walked. He lived in Kentucky. And he mostly ministered in Kentucky and a little bit in the periphery area. And as I've read this biography, I'm on it again. I read it. I finished it. The Lord said, go back and read it. Because of the parts of this book that I am gleaning about being a spiritual man. This man was single all his life. He just dedicated his life to the Lord. At the time of the writing, he was 74. He had as many miracles and healings and things that he did spiritually as Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, those kind of things. He had along those lines, that type, that many. I mean, all kinds of supernatural stuff. But he lived as a spiritual man, not a natural man. And when I think about the definition that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and how he spoke about and encouraged to be, you know, what the difference, really outlined the difference between a spiritual man or woman and a natural man or woman, and what we have available to us and what the world does not have, the natural person doesn't have, why would we ever divert or default back to the natural man or woman? Why would we do it? We do it because we're still ignorant of what God's got for us. Because. And I'm right here with you. We haven't pressed in into the reality of who our Father, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are in our lives. We haven't done it. We've done as much as we feel like we should or can or think we can based on what we need to do to live. My excuse was I didn't have time. Just being real. And over the last month, even before I started reading this book, the Lord has been impressing on me to press in, to press in, to press in, to press in more and more to the spiritual man he made me to be. And I've done it. And again, I have more miracles that have been happening in my life in the last 3 or 4 weeks than I've had in a long time. I've had a lot of miracles happen. But I've had more in the last 3 or 4 weeks than I've had in a long time. I determined to live as a spiritual man for the rest of my life. Where eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It doesn't matter what the situations, the circumstances, what's going on. I care about our country, but whatever's going on in this world, in the town, in the school boards, and everything else that's happening, guess what? If we're not living as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, we're not going to change anything. I don't know if you realize that. We're not going to reach anybody. We're not going to see the miracles. We're not going to see things change in our lives. We're not going to gain the things God's got for us. We're not going to be able to give him glory if we're not living as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. And this country, this city, people, nothing's going to change. Nobody's going to be reached. We're just going to hang on by our fingernails, in a sense, until the day comes the Lord says, okay, come on home. But you could have had so much more. And you could have done and seen so much more. This G.A. Bevington, he would spend time in prayer. We would call him an intercessor. He would spend time in prayer until he broke through, until he reached heaven, until he knew things were done. And I'm talking, he recorded his hours. 14 hours, 2 hours, 72 hours. No food, no drink, I mean nothing. And prayed. And he went and prayed for people. And he saw them healed. And he saw miracles and all kinds of different areas happen. This obscure, who in the world is he, guy who determined, who had a call to the poor people in the rural areas of Kentucky 100 years ago. What an inspiration. Along with Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and Catherine Coleman and others. Our determination to live as a spiritual person is going to change our reality. So who dictates your reality? You do. You do. Each one of us do. We're going to dictate that the reality that we're going to live in. Each one of us. God's already given us the option. You got a spiritual reality given to you that you, I've called you, I've invited you, I want you to live in. And I want to tell you, those of you that feel like you got a call to ministry, this is the real deal. This is real stuff. And these are the things that you're going to face. Don't think you're going to go in living on one side and the other. It doesn't happen that way. This is full on, full tilt, where you've given yourself fully and completely to Him. But that should be every one of us, whether you got a call to ministry or not. We determine the reality we're going to live in. We're going to live in the natural reality and everything the world says. We're going to freak out every time the world freaks out. Well, we're going to live in the spiritual reality and the assurance of our God. And we're going to see incredible things. I mean, amazing things that would be recorded in here if it was still being recorded in the written word, but they're being recorded in heaven, and they will glorify Him. Knowing this, that God has already given us the option of living in a spiritual reality that He's created for us, that is the truth, as compared to all the lies, the deception, and the putrid things of this world. He says you can live here. So how do we start? I mean, if we really want to do this, how do we start? What do we do? I want to read to you this passage in James. You know, James is, he's kind of like me, or I'm kind of like him. I don't know, but he's real direct. I appreciate that. I like it. I want people to be direct. I am like that. Forgive me if it seems abrasive or hard sometimes, or too direct or not soft and gentle enough. It's just my personality. It's partly the way God made me. However, I'm not going to change unless the Lord changes me. If my spiritual reality says you need to soften up more or you need to be more indirect, then I will. Absolutely, because I can. It's just an example. James is direct, and this is what he says. James chapter 4. James 4, I want to read 7 through 10. He says, therefore, submit to God. Man, I mean, I'm telling you, everything he says in this passage is so powerful. I could spend an hour on each one. Submit to God. We don't submit to him. I mean, typically, the natural man, the natural woman does not submit to God. They submit to everything else. And then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Where does the devil attack? The devil's powerless. He's been beaten. He's a loser. He's a zero. Where do we resist? Right between the ears. Because this is where he comes and speaks and deals with and tries to disrupt and get us to walk in all the junk and the garbage that's around us. Resist him. You don't have to listen to that stuff. If it's contrary to the word and what the Holy Spirit is speaking, then stop. Stop it. Put a stop to it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He'll run with his tail tucked between his legs. Then he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What do you mean? If I draw near to God, then he'll come close to me? No, he's always there. He's like got his arms around us and he says, oh man, I want you to draw nearer to me. I'm right here. Draw near to me so that you can experience my closeness. Draw near to me so I can be the close relationship that you've wanted and that I want, because I'm right here. I want it more than you do. Then he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That sounds awfully harsh. The natural man or woman wrestles and struggles with sin, with the things going on, the evil thoughts in our hearts, and with being double-minded. That's the natural man. Sorry, but that's the reality. He says, cleanse them. Then he says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. He's talking about true, real, honest to goodness, genuine repentance. Finally, in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Bottom line, we have to get our hearts right with him in a real way, not just saying so, and empty ourselves of us. I want to tell you that's personally what I've been going through, is an emptying. And we do that so he can really, truly fill every fiber of our being. And we can see the reality that he sees and has given to us. And walk in it as spiritual people, a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. It's emptying us of us in its true, honest to goodness, genuine repentance. I guarantee you that it doesn't happen with the flip of a switch. I promise you, you have to spend time alone. Without interference. And open yourself. And admit where you've been wrong. Where you've missed it. Lies you might have believed, things you may be involved with or watching or doing that are affecting you and really making you live in the natural aspect and miss all that God has for you in relationship and in his reality for you. Does this make sense? It means It means a big change. And it means a real change. And it means being honest. It means being sorry for living as a natural person. And it means embracing what it is to be truly a spiritual man or a spiritual woman in this day and age now. This is the tipping point I was talking about. For all of us, this is it. Will you stand with me? Look, I don't know right now if anybody wants to make that change or at least commit to it right now. But if you do, come on up front. I'm going to pray for you. If you don't, you want to do it at home, I pray, my heart, I pray that you do it. It will change your life forever. You want to walk into things that God's got for you? You want to walk in that awesome, awesome relationship and all the, you want to walk in the miracles? You want to walk in the genuineness of what it is to be a spiritual person? If you want that, you can have it. But today, we're going to make a commitment. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to beg. You want to come up here and do this? Do it. This is a life change now. I'm going to tell you that this is a life change. I mean it. I'm not playing around. This will correct your heart, your thinking, your life. It'll make you a seeker of God first in everything. It will take you from living in the natural realm and being affected by the natural realm to living in the spiritual realm and being affected by the spiritual realm. It will make you effective in your life. It will make your life a plus. It will make your life glorifying to God. You will hear things. You will know things. You will understand things. You will receive from God like you've not received before. The things that have been a mystery or you've wondered why. Your desire to be with Him will increase. Your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is going to get bigger, more real. And miracles, healings will be with you as He leads you. Each of these you see here right now we come to you and we agree. In Jesus' name. Cemented together with each other and in you. And in our hearts and by decision, we want truly to walk as spiritual men and spiritual women. We're going to commit to you to get our hearts right with you. Right now, this week, and empty ourselves of us. Speak to us and to you, filling everything that we have emptied out and you taking its place in our lives from now on. And Lord, we make this commitment to you. Thank you for showing us how. Next week, we're going to cover, I'm telling you, you're going to change if you will follow through. The Lord's heard the commitment. You will change. You will be different. And your reality will be different from now on. Next week, we're going to talk about, I want to teach you on how to manifest that new reality, how to manifest those things God has promised us. How does that happen? How do we manifest this spiritual aspect, this spiritual reality now in our lives? How do we do that? I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to hearing the testimonies of your lives.